week and a half ago on Wednesday, January the 22nd, 2020, at 12:20 in the afternoon, our daughter Rachel and her husband Blake brought into the world Fisher Samuel Lawrence. He is Missy and my first grandchild. He is practically perfect in every way. 6 pounds, 7 ounces, 20 inches long, about 14 of that is legs. He is going to be tall. Some of you who are grandparents have been holding out on us about how great this really is. You have undersold this proposition. We have discovered, along with others of you, that grandchildren are the only thing in the world that are not overrated. We are delighted to have him in the world. Some people have asked me about his name, Fisher Samuel. Is Fisher a family name? And I'm sure it is in someone's family. Rachel and Blake were walking down the preschool hallway at their church in Dallas, the Park City's Baptist Church, and there was a little boy with a backpack, and it had the name Fisher on it, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, and they couldn't get it out of their heads. It was like God had planted a seed for them of a promise yet to come, and that's its own beautiful story. Samuel is his middle name, and there's a story there. I asked Rachel and Blake if I could tell their story, and they said, yes, we want to be helpful. So, early last spring, Rachel had a miscarriage. And we don't talk about that in our culture. And because we don't talk about that, when it happens in your house, it seems like you're the only people in the history of the world to whom that has ever happened. And they were bearing the weight of that, and Missy and I were writing them, calling them, talking with them, encouraging them. And then Rachel wrote about that in her social media, and their friends who had had the same experience began to just come out of the woodworks to encourage them. Now, I'm telling you that for two reasons. One is, I would like us to find ways to normalize conversations about what happens to us. If what happens to you makes a difference to us, then there just aren't things that are real and painful to you that you can't bring to your church family and talk about. The second is to set the stage so that you'll know that Rachel and Blake had conversations together and prayed together about getting pregnant and having a child in ways that Missy and I, we just didn't. And so they had prayed and talked for months. And on the day that they found out Rachel was pregnant, in Blake's quiet time in his devotion that morning, he was reading the book of 1 Samuel. It's in the first chapter. And the 27th verse there says this: I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted what I asked of him. That was for them, and it is for us, the word of the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. And Rachel and Blake committed on that day that if God gave them a son, that they were going to name him Samuel. Samuel in Hebrew means God listens, or God has heard me. And indeed, that is the basis of all of our prayers. Can I go back with you a generation and think with you a little bit more about that? Now we're in June of 1992. Rachel was born on June the 5th. And Missy's parents had been able to be with us, and then they were gone, and Dan was at a pastor's conference, and everybody else had materials from the conference on the table in front of them, and Dan had a notebook with two photographs in it. One was a picture of newborn Rachel K. Wells, and the other was a photograph, an aerial photograph of a 20-acre tract of land that his church in Miami had just purchased, where they had hoped to relocate. One of the other pastors there was a fellow named Rick Warren. And Rick said to Dan, "Do you think your granddaughter would want to attend that church that you want to build?" And for the rest of the day, while everyone else listened to speakers and thought about the materials in print, Dan was fixated by and fascinated by that question. And when he went back to Miami, he preached a sermon that he called A Church for Rachel K. I've been thinking about that since we found out Rachel was pregnant, and a great deal in the last 2 weeks. And this morning, I want to preach for you a sermon that I'm going to call A Church for Fisher Samuel. So 27 years ago, when Dan was dreaming these dreams, they were going to build a new church in a new place. It was a different setting. What I know about the world we live in today, not just that the neighborhood around us is rapidly changing, but the world around us is rapidly changing and is in ever-increasing need of an unchanging gospel. And this church has felt a burden to transform the world with the power of the gospel for generations. This building, where we're sitting right now, was designed and built by people in the 1920s and paid for in the depths of the Depression. And this room where we worship was twice as large as the worshiping congregation. Montrose Wolfe, who was the pastor here from 1919 to 1938, said as they were building this facility, "We have to build a church twice as large as we are, because we believe God is going to do great things through this place in the years to come." These stained glass windows that have become iconic to us of this space, defining it for us. The church installed between Mother's Day of 1943 and 1944. Can you fix in your mind a sense of how the world was during that war? While we were rationing cocoa, which is where red velvet cake comes from, and sugar and gasoline, the congregation that met in this place sacrificially gave over and above what it took to do church to install these windows, because Dr. Westmoreland said, when the war is over, the world is going to need a church worthy of the gospel. And it is our privilege in this generation to restore this sanctuary building unto the glory of God and for the propagation of the gospel. We spent $13 million on this building, and we're still paying for it. We're going to ask you to pay for it again at the end of the service. And we do that because we believe God has a great dream for this church and wants to continue to do great things through us. So this morning, I want to ask you Rick Warren's question again for a new generation. Would Fisher Samuel Lawrence want to come to this church that we're building? Asked another way, are we building a church that will reach the city of Houston for Jesus Christ in the years to come? Or if I were to reverse the verse, Hannah prayed, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him." Reversing the verse, the question becomes, what is the Lord asking of us for this church in this generation? Can I tell you, I think it starts with our having a commitment to reach out, everyone. Even the preacher's kid and the preacher's grandkids need someone to give them an invitation. God wants all of us to be his children, which means each of us has to be on the invitation committee. And churches are not great at that. My friend Craig Lee was the best man in our wedding. He's a captain in the United States Navy. He works in intelligence, and his career has required frequent, prolonged, detached service from his family. One time, he was on a foreign strand, and there was a church not far from the naval base where he was attached, and he left the base on a Sunday morning and went to church, a deeply committed Christian, wanting to fellowship with other Christians. And he wrote me a letter afterwards, and he said, "I have now been ignored by Christians in churches on 5 different continents. It seems to me everywhere I go that Christians have circled the wagons to make the visitors feel like outsiders." Do you know how that feels? Have you had that experience in a church? It is good and right for us to build deep bonds in the church. If we really are a family to one another, and we really are a family to one another. If we really are a family to one another, then we're going to develop close relationships. And we have to perpetually be alert to the new person who's in the group to make a space wherein new people feel welcome. Part of what we know is people will go where they know that they have been prepared for and cared for. Some of that is the reason that we restored this building and that we do work on our campus. We want our campus to be both an oasis of green and beauty in the middle of a concrete jungle and an operations center for the kingdom of God that's functional in all the spaces where people gather and attractive for people to be here. And beautiful buildings, apart from a warm welcome, make museums, not churches. So we have to make the point of reaching out to new people. So let me ask you, did you greet the person in the pew next to you this morning when they got here? Do you know if the person next to you is a visitor or a longtime member? If you don't, you ought to just say hi and find out. You might find out they've been here for 70 years and they're wondering who you are. Or if you come on Wednesday night, do you scan the room and see whether there's somebody sitting by themselves at a table? And maybe this week, rather than going to the table where you always sit, you could go sit with the person who's by themselves and extend them a welcome. Can I tell you that the Power and Light Sunday School class, good on you, Power and Light. The Power and Light Sunday School class is the only adult Sunday School class at the church that's growing. There's a culture in that class that welcomes new people into it. Virtually all of our other adult Sunday School classes are static in size. What that means is, and it's not surprising, after about 18 months of being together, group dynamics tend to get set. Those classes have a strong internal cohesion. People are looking after each other and taking care of each other. But we're not reaching out, and we need to learn from the Power and Light class how to do that. And the best way for someone to find South Main is for someone that they already know and trust to invite them to come here, and it's this easy. The bar's already lowered because they know you and trust you. If you say to someone in your circle of influence, look, there's this place I go every week. There are these people that I meet with, and it makes all the difference in my life, and I think it would make a difference in your life too. Why don't you join me? If we're going to build a church that will reach Fisher Samuel, it starts by our reaching out. And our reaching out authentically. By authentically, I mean we have to build a church that is real and true. True to God, which means faithful to the Bible. Culturally, we have moved from a place of biblical literacy to biblical illiteracy to biblical ignorance to biblical apathy. The world outside of the walls of the church puts no more stock in what the Bible says than what any other book says. And is as apt to quote J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, really good books, by the way, as they are anything else, which means it's our job in this place to introduce them to a word around which they can build their lives. It's our job in this place to introduce them to truth that is wisdom and concurrent with what they already know, so that when they encounter truth that is confrontational to what they know, that they can lean in and learn there too. We have to be faithful to the Bible and honest and hope-filled by the gospel. To say to ourselves and to everyone who comes here, you can change. Yesterday doesn't have to define tomorrow. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive. There's nothing that you can do that will cause God to love you more or to love you less. God's love for you is his free gift from who he is. It doesn't depend on what you do. You don't earn it. You just receive it. It has to be true to God, and it has to be true to us, which means we have to have a sense of our own gifts and our own limitations and to work comfortably in that space. Like every other church, we wrestle with that. 17 years ago, when I came to South Main, we were experimenting with a contemporary worship service. We were worried because we didn't have young families, and we thought, what do they want, and how can we do it so that they'll come? And so we did contemporary worship in the gym. If you're new here and you think, well, yeah, it didn't grow, it was in the gym. On Sunday nights, we rented the same space, decorated the same way, to another church in town. And though we drew about 30 on a Sunday morning, they drew 250 on a Sunday night. So maybe you think, it's, oh, well, they didn't have glorious music. And holy cow, that was lovely this morning. Thank you. But we hired 8 professional musicians. We had a great band every week. The reason it didn't work is it was not authentic to who we are. And when you try to be someone that you're not, to be attractive to someone else, that doesn't make you attractive. It makes you a poser. And nobody's attracted to that. When we know who we are, when we know what our gifts is, and we lean what our gifts are, and we lean into those, when we know what our weaknesses and limitations are, and we learn to mitigate those, then we have gospel freedom. We learn to say no with conviction so that we can say yes with abandon. If we're going to reach Fisher Samuel for Jesus, we have to reach out to him authentically, and we have to graft him into the family. That is, we have to give him a community. When you join this church, we pledged ourselves to be for you in this place. And we take that seriously. And when you're in a crisis, we're at our best at that. After a flood or a hurricane, I mean, we all engage and we organize. And Steve Rader has a Google Doc right now ready for the next one. After, not long ago, I just asked, in fact, let's do it right now. Show of hands. If you lived with someone who's a member of South Main Church after Hurricane Harvey, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you had someone living in your house after Hurricane Harvey, raise your hand. Yeah, we opened our doors. If someone in your family dies, this church is going to show up with a casserole because that's how we say we love you. When a baby is born in those weeks of utter exhaustion, this church is going to show up at your house to walk with you through that. And that has to become the daily reality of our lives. Some of you are going to have to help with this more than others because some of you are going to have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you remember the show Cheers? Do you remember the theme song? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows you're, and they're always glad you. That show has been off the air for 27 years. But that idea and that song has taken residence in the hearts of all of us who thought, yeah, I want the kind of community where they know me by name and they're glad that I come there and they've made a place of welcome for me. And here is the thing that I know. Our sin separates us. It isolates us. It diminishes us. But grace, God's forgiveness and salvation, it unites us. Which means there is no such thing as conversion to the person of Jesus apart from a commitment to the people of Jesus. There's no such thing as following after Christ on your own. You've got to be part of the church. So if we're going to have a church that reaches Fisher Samuel, we have to reach out to him authentically and enfold him in community, and we have to do that with excellence. When I was growing up, there were 3 television stations. 3. That's it. All we had. And television stopped after Johnny Carson. Do you remember that? They played the national anthem and they turned off the TV station all night long. And at least in Lubbock, where I grew up, it started the next morning at 6 o'clock, and they played High Flight. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter's silvered wings. Sunward I have climbed amidst the tumbling birth and mirth and seen 100 things that you've not seen. Every morning, Fisher Samuel Lawrence is going to grow up in a world with near infinite content available to him. YouTube alone has caused our children to stop thinking that they can't do things, because if you want to do something, someone has put a video on YouTube to show you how to do it. You can fix your car or wire your house or plan your vacation or learn about retirements. Everything you need to know is somewhere on YouTube, I promise you. And it goes everywhere with you. This is a fact. In the course of the last generation, the screens on which our children and teenagers are absorbing their information have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, even as the screens on which their parents have absorbed information have gotten larger and larger and larger. And the competition for eyes and ears and hearts and minds is intense, which means we have to be excellent. And we strive to do all the things that we do with excellence. During the renovation, I was taking a tour of this room, and I went up in the organ chamber, which you couldn't do before because the organ was so packed in there. And I was standing in these three holes where the facade pipes are now, and I looked up at the back side of the plaster on one of those columns. It's a place you're never going to see. No one in this room is ever going to see, because it's behind things. And when I looked at it, it was every bit as intricate and had been painted every bit as carefully as all of the bits that you see. And I realized in that moment that not only the artisans who built this building, but the congregation that commissioned and paid for it were determined to build not a playhouse for divas, but God's house for disciples. Because they had taken into their own lives Paul's admonition to the church in Corinth, whatsoever you do, do it with all of your heart as serving the Lord and not for people. We strive in all things to be excellent. We are not trying to be perfect. We are not perfect people, and we don't pretend to be. And I don't know about you, but I have discovered this. Perfection is paralyzing. If you think you have to produce something that's perfect, the thought of the failure of it shuts you down, shuts me down, and I wind up doing nothing instead of doing something. Perfection is paralyzing. Excellence is achievable. In fact, we can fail in the pursuit of excellence, because even when we fail, we learn something about it, and we can do it better next time. We can be better at it next year. We can be less of what we used to be and more of what we ought to be. We grow as we do it because we take into our hearts that admonition. Whatsoever we do it with all of our hearts as working for the Lord and not for people. So if we're going to have a church that reaches Fisher Samuel, we have to reach out, R, authentically, A, and fold him in community, C, and do it with excellence, E, R-A-C-E. You know, I could argue what we're supposed to do is run the race with perseverance, or that we're supposed to build a church for the whole human race. But could I suggest to us this morning that Baptists have not always done real well with race? And maybe that should not be our key word and metaphor. We need something else to play from. And here's what I think will get us out of there. Gratitude. Gratitude is the thing that will turn a focus from race to grace. Gratitude starts when we hear the scripture say, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And if each of us, if all of us make that statement autobiographical, if I say Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, then what I know is, even though I am the worst, I was forgiven and I have been welcomed, which means you're easy because I'm the worst. And I stop having a need to judge you. I stop having a need to include anyone. I'm just grateful that I got in here. And that's the way the whole enterprise works. If we tend God's grace, if we're honest in our own confession that led to our salvation, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. Rescue me. When we remember our own need for grace, then a gratitude wells up inside of us, inside, that feels like joy. And it won't stay there. Because if that kind of gratitude grows in you, it will pour out as generosity. Grace is the key to the whole thing. Could I change metaphors for just a second? When Missy's dad was a youth minister decades ago, he took his youth group on a retreat to Latham Springs, which is the Baptist Associational Encampment just outside of Waco. And one afternoon during their retreat, they were playing in a bend in the Brazos River. The river's just kind of ankle deep in that spot. Dozens and dozens of teenagers out in the river, when all of a sudden they began to hear this sound like thunder. And they looked up at the sky. The sky was blue and the wind wasn't blowing, and they were trying to figure out, where is that sound coming from? Someone looked upstream, and there was coming at them a wall of water like a tsunami. It turns out the Army Corps of Engineers was testing the floodgates at Lake Whitney, and they had just opened them all the way. And like Memorial after Harvey, the wall of water was coming. And they were about to lose dozens of teenagers as they were cast down the river and dashed against the rocks. And suddenly, just in a moment, somebody grabbed an oak tree at the side of the river. And somebody else grabbed him. And somebody else grabbed her. And somebody grabbed her. And somebody grabbed him. And a line of people began to form, reaching out into the river. And when the wall hit and kids started blowing down the river, they just grabbed hold of that human chain and they held on to one another. And the real miracle on the Brazos is they didn't lose anybody. Everybody got saved. I would like to suggest that in the urgency of that event, there is a theology of church for us today. Reach out to someone that you know and love who trusts you. Do that authentically. Don't pretend to be someone or do something that's not you. Wrap them in community. Show them God's love and God's grace. And let's do that with excellence, which means all of us working to make sure nobody gets lost. And then, could we all be grateful that we get to share life and have life and save lives in this place? If we will build this church on God's grace, we will build for the future. And we will build a church for Fisher Samuel and for every other child of God that walks into these doors.